This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's very entertaining. He's very funny. And his humor is often self-deprecating. It's quite endearing.
I know it. I know it. I totally know it.
What?
And I think we're going to serve McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza.
Oh, I can't wait till you're off the air so I can tell you what happened at the break room.
I really believe that he was very strong on the fact that he drank a lot.
I could cover a lot of people. That could cover plenty. Hey, we're here was it Kristen or Kirsten on our Facebook page discovered there was a big power play on this show for the last 2.5 years. We were tired of Lucy upstaging us.
So we got rid of her.
She's done. I mean, dead.
It worked.
Yeah, Leslie, Luna, whatever her name was, gone. Gone out of here. We were sick of being upstage. Well, she did that often. That was the only part of the accuracy of that Facebook comment. And then Adam was trying to be self-deprecating and said, the only problem the two of us have is erectile dysfunction. Yeah. And then she made some comment like, well,
yes,
yeah.
Now that Lindsay's gone,
now
yes.
That Lindsay's gone, okay, you want to be more insulting, by the way?
The whole thing's disgusting.
We would never do that. Daniel J. Cook is here wearing his askew Wisconsin bow tie. There we go. Now it's perfect. What does your club have?
Oregon.
Oregon.
The Ducks.
The Ducks.
Now it's a 5-12, but it's actually a pretty tough matchup. Oregon
setting it up.
Won, I think,
the
their last four in a row by 18
All you
points,
do is set up the loss.
Went through the Pac-12 tournament like a knife through butter. It's a tough draw.
The Pac-12 is pathetic.
Tough draw.
Pathetic. Where is Sloan?
Punk! Get off my show!
We need to
No, because Sloan's anti-Badger.
No, but we need. My club is playing Sloan's club.
Oh, is that what it is? I still don't trust her because she's anti-Badger.
Well, I just don't trust her because the club's about to lose. I mean, I want my coach to get fired. He's such an embarrassment on the sidelines. I think Bobby Hurley is the most embarrassing coach in college sports to watch right now.
Contender up here with the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Oh, yes. Fran.
What a jerk. He must be pleasant, huh?
He's got the kid on the team.
Yeah.
And then it turns out the kid's a good baseball player, too. Yeah, he is. He's angry. He's angry, Fran. Yeah. Bobby is whining, Bobby. I mean, just hand gesturing, feet stomping.
Isn't that the stereotypical Duke player, though? I mean,
yes.
Is that the thing?
Yes. He is more punch me in the face now than he was at Duke. And that's not easy.
No.
To pull off. Because there was an interesting debate as we were finishing yesterday. The Michigan State Bradley game was taking place. Bradley, what's their nickname? Are they the Braves or something?
Yes, they are the Braves.
The Braves. And Izzo was being Izzo yesterday. During the game. Is the kid's name Austin Henry, I believe. And Tom Izzo was extraordinarily upset at the effort of young Mr. Henry. And I'd be lying if I said I was watching the game, because I think we were on. And then, listen, when we finish this show, first of all, it's like a marathon. Right? I mean, they wrap us in that silver thing.
Or in my case, it's like, 3 hours at the gulag.
Yeah, the gulag. Yeah. How about goulash? Where do you stand on goulash?
My grandma Nana used to make goulash. I never was a fan of it.
What? Even Dan Cook probably likes goulash.
No.
Oh, goulash is fantastic. So Henry, according to, you think his friends call him Izzy?
Tom?
Don't call him Tom and you don't call him Coach.
Is.
Is?
What do you think? I bet his friends call him Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but
You know me.
Tommy.
I know you.
I bet that's what it is. You think they do? Yeah. I don't know. I do. It strikes me as Izzo doesn't want to be called Coach by his buddies, but Dan might be right. So he's melting down, right? He is finger in the chest. And people are having that argument today. Did Izzo go too far? Well, a couple points. The old school coach is given more leeway on that than the new school coach.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If the new guy, the new 28-year-old, who's the darling, does that now, he can't get away with it as much as hard-scrabbled. What instrument does he play in the Levitard show again? Is it like the tuba or something? Have you heard him when he's on the Levitard? He plays a musical instrument, and it's brilliant. It's so good. But Izzo gets away with it. And what made, I think, allowed Izzo to get away with it more, too, was did you see the interaction with the players? The players feel this spirit with Izzo where they're trying to calm him down, and then they're lecturing the player. You don't see that. You think Coach Knight? Do you think my guy Witt on the Isaiah team, you think Witt could have been trying to calm down Coach Knight?
Seeing several photos of Tom Izzo with an accordion.
Accordion, that's what it is, yes. He was playing like musical. He was playing like Christmas tunes on the Levitard show with the accordion. It was just fabulous. But would I want to always play for that guy? No. Would I want my boys to play for that guy? Hell yes. Because I think Izzo does get the line in that area. There's still some questions about what Izzo knew, you know, with Larry Nassar in Michigan State, and that's a more complicated question. But as you two guys watched that or you saw the highlights, Adam E. Force, what did you think when
that's
you saw
that? That's Tom Izzo being a coach.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I used to think that about Bobby Knight, too, but now there's so much evidence about just what a horrible human being he is, though.
Yeah. Now, you don't know what kind of charity work he did, sir.
But.
And by the way, Knight, there was a report from his old play-by-play guy that the health might be slipping.
But
no. Come up with that before I mocked him.
Yeah. No, Bob Knight, quintessential bully.
Yeah.
I've been bullied by him. I've also been in conversation where he's so interesting.
Yeah.
But no, Bob Knight towards the kids was a complete and utter jackass very often, although most of them are extraordinarily loyal to him. Mm-hmm. Not all, most. So you're watching that, Adam, and you're saying that's fine.
It's Tom Izzo, yeah.
Yep.
I think, you know, you sort of hit on it that Izzo gets the benefit of the doubt in that situation because we know him. And we know that it's not necessarily a showboat situation or he's not out there trying to promote himself, that this is just him being passionate about the game and trying to advocate for his players and for his team. So I think he gets a pass.
I think he gets more leeway, too, when people see him in interviews, his explanations, his likability in that. Are we in agreement, though, for a young guy who's emerging right now to try to do that?
Oh, no. No way they get away with it. No.
I don't think they have any chance. I really don't. I don't think they get the players either. Okay, speaking of college basketball, let's stay with the Gophers. What does this do for interest in the short and long term with the Gophers winning yesterday and playing Tom Izzo's team at 6:45 Saturday evening? Let's talk about that when we come back. You're better than that. I mean, come on. All right, before we get to a little Gopher talk and what it means more long term, Garrett was kind enough to call in because Adam was talking about the sandbagging in Stillwater and so many areas of this state are facing issues and we don't know how serious it might get. We've had this weather where it's worked out to try to diffuse it some. But Garrett, thanks for calling in. You're from Bloomington, but you're helping out in Stillwater? Give us kind of the details.
Yeah, so I answered the volunteer call on Wednesday and I went down there I got down there actually last night and I stayed overnight down there in my car. And, I went and, helped this morning from 8 to 11 and, was shoveling sand into, bags. One of the sandbagger machines was not working properly. Mm-hmm. So we had one group, we only had one sandbag machine going and, wow. Yeah, I was just shoveling sand and, there was a gal that was sitting on a bucket. Holding the bag and then another person tying the bags and then they were stacking bags on pallets.
Did you have quite a few people down there or what's
what? There were at least over 10, 15 people probably.
Yep.
Maybe 20.
Yep.
But there were also city employees and the fire department and yeah, I mean it was a lot of people like just doing everything.
What's the mood of the people down there? Do they feel like they've got a good effort going to stave off the river?
Well, apparently it's not supposed to be as bad as they thought it would be, but the plan is that they're going to build a 15-foot wall anyways. It's not supposed to get as bad, but they're worried more about the ice and stuff like that. The ice is not melting, and that could cause an issue.
It is a credit to you, Garrett, that you decided to do this, and good on you. What caused you to do it?
Well, I was actually finishing up some probation hours I had to get in, and I got an extra 30 minutes. So, but I like helping out too. So it was two things. So,
yep.
I mean, I like doing some volunteer work once in a while anyways. So it was a win-win, and I like helping cities out too. So,
Garrett, thank you very much for your help, and thanks for calling in and sharing the story.
Yeah, no problem. You have a good rest of your day, Chad.
You also, sir. Thanks again. It is.
You're
nice.
Familiar with sandbagging. Wait a minute. That's on horse breath.
I do have a sandbagger shirt that I really like. As up and down as my game is right now, I'm sometimes a reverse sandbagger. I'm the guy you want to play.
Yeah.
You know, hey, what's your number? Sure, let's go. Let's play for a lot. But yeah, it's very good. The people are helping out. But as Matt Brickman and Paul have been saying, it's almost like this has been ideal, Dan, right? Like to have this 45 and sunny,
yep.
And as gradual as it can be considering the amount of snow and ice that's out there.
And beyond, you know, the rain last week, there hasn't been, you know, consistent rain.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, it's the combination of the rain and the snow melt that really provides the flooding danger. And so if there was any serious rain involved with all of this melting, even though you have the ideal, you know, slope on the melting, you can still get yourself in trouble. So
Brickman, by the way, I want to take a minute to call him out.
Oh, really? Now, is it on the 7:34 show?
No.
Is he still kind of dressing casually for this? Because I haven't watched in a couple weeks.
I haven't seen it.
Ugh.
Not lately.
Oh,
I mean, I've seen it before.
Yeah. Because he's on TV and he's got the, you know, we're Team Brickman on the suit.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they're great.
Well, this is about his clothing today.
But then what he does for 7:34, it's take the coat off. Take the tie
roll
off.
Roll up the sleeves,
you know, because this is more casual, mm-hmm. Matt. But then as soon as he gets back on TV, it's fancy pants,
right.
Matt.
Well, the reason I'm calling him out, and he gets the today's You're Better Than That award,
okay.
Is because they posted a picture, and of course, as local TV personalities are wont to do, they're all on board with the Gophers, so they all had maroon and gold on today.
So fraudulent.
But Brickman, though, first of all, Brickman, to me, is the guy's no chance. I'm not, you know. I remember when they did a Viking video a couple years ago. He had his Patriots jersey. I say, bro.
Oh, that's tremendous. Yeah, but I agree. Who are the guys who would push against it? Brickman would.
For sure.
The list might be done.
I was going to say.
I mean, who else? Let's go four. Anyway, nobody else at four I can think of, right? Five, my list of people I can name is Tom Hauser. And Joe Schmidt, and Chris Long, and Doogie, right? No, nobody there. Nine, I don't know. Ian Leonard's too busy wearing his sunglasses everywhere and kind of staring in the mirror at himself. 11, Bell. Bell hates the Gophers. No. I mean, no. You're right. You're required.
Yeah.
I will literally donate $250 to a charity of their choice. If one of the main
anchors says,
I don't care.
Right.
Go Michigan State.
Here's the thing, though. Brickman had a gold tie on. So to me, that's his out.
Sell out.
But he should have been like, you know, first of all, he's a graduate of the University of Illinois, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right.
So an orange tie would have been good, Matt. I can't believe you fell in
and
the trap.
And Illinois destroyed the Gophers one of the games this year, and then the Gophers like barely beat him here or something. So, Matt,
you're better than that.
You're better than that. Now let's get to the Gophers and trying to get some momentum when we return. We're always on schedule here. Gopher sports, their biggest problem for a number of years is a bit of the dilemma this radio station faces. Demographics. Trying to get younger people to listen to this station and sample it and decide, hey, those guys are good enough, I want to listen, or those guys annoy me so much, I want to listen. And Gopher football. Let's just be honest. You go to a Gopher basketball game, baseline to baseline, median age is 65. I mean, it's old. Gopher football, 20 to 20 yard line. Same thing, right? And when you have the ineptitude that those programs have had at times, and Gopher basketball skates too easy. I'll say the stat I say all the time. The Gophers have not finished in men's basketball above fourth place in a season which was not wiped away since 1982. Take that in, Adam Carter. It's 2019. They haven't finished above fourth place since 1982. The Jim Pete-led Big Ten champions. Okay, you know, Daryl Mitchell and those other guys and Trent, but Jim Pete-led. So it's and then you deal with the overall college sports issue, where attendance is down across the country, not just here. And then you get when Norwood was trying to advance the process too far. Well, he advanced the process too far in a lot of other areas, but on the ticket side, by bumping up tickets, and how that hurt Gopher basketball and Gopher football. One game and a good win over Louisville, which they don't have to apologize for, and they played well and was entertaining to watch. I don't think that really is going to capture the imagination, and it'll trickle down to next year. But let's say they beat Michigan State. And so then you got 4 or 5 days of buildup till you know your Sweet 16 game. Is it just, and Dan, you first, is it just in the moment, and it does it time you get to November, or can it get a few more people who really have not been captivated by Patino or haven't been captivated by Gopher basketball to say, you know what, that was fun, and I'm going to remind myself that Williams is pretty good, or I've heard that Williams is cool, I want to check it out.
I think, I think that first of all, there's going to be a sizable contingent down there, you know, with them playing Saturday night, and
yes,
it's within driving distance, and so I think, you know, the fact that they beat Louisville sets up for a big presence there Saturday night. If they beat Michigan State, which, like you said, is possible, Michigan
yep.
State's a darn good football or basketball team,
yep.
but it's possible that the Gophers beat them. Anytime you can use those words, Sweet 16, for, like you said, 4 or 5 straight days as the buildup and put it on T-shirts, and
mm-hmm.
you know, anytime
market
you do
heck
that,
out of it.
I mean, that's if you do that right. Yeah, you're going to generate, you know, it's not going to turn things around on a dime,
yep.
but it's going to generate interest, and you're going to attract some eyeballs and some people that weren't considering it before. Sure.
Adam, why don't we turn things around on a dime versus a penny or a nickel?
Smaller. Yeah. Dime is the smallest coin, yeah. so you'd turn it around on the smallest coin.
Who among
you turn things around on a quarter, nice, but not not as nice.
And what would you turn things around on right now, a dollar bill?
You know, that'd be pretty good.
Just to give
I'd pull a hamstring, but
oh, then you'd be back days yeah. later. What do you think?
That would be, Dan's absolutely right, and plus, I mean, you knock off a 2 seed, a team that is traditionally a powerhouse in the
big
NCAA tournament, and you move like you get the build up for Sweet 16. Just the word Sweet 16, you haven't been able to say in so long.
Yep,
and you know, it's another. You travel to another location, and hopefully a contingent of fans would be able to go there too. I don't know where is the region.
Golden Valley.
Cool, nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of people really.
Yeah,
the Perpich Center. Would you still call it Golden Valley Lutheran, the Perpich Center or whatever?
But
my backyard.
So the East Regional. So
yeah,
site. I don't know where that would be.
I'm not
in the
sure.
East.
Dan's looking right now. Yeah. you think it's in the eastern part of the country?
But you got a likable coach.
Yep.
A coach, I think, who gets it, self-deprecating coach.
He should identify with the 30, 40, and
100%.
Because he's got snark about him.
Snark. He uses social media
yep.
Well.
Right.
So I think it would be a big step forward for this program.
Well, here's their dream.
Hot take.
Thank you. Here's their dream. They they win. Well, their dream is they win the whole thing, right? They win, but where is it?
D.C., by the way.
D.C. Oh, that's right, because a lot of people talked about Michigan State having the tough draw because They potentially, the winner of Gophers and Michigan could potentially play Maryland, I believe, out there. So that'd be, you know.
Two consecutive Big Ten games in a row. Too.
Yeah. Plus Maryland, D.C. Yeah. That's a long travel there. But if you could convince the young man from Rochester, Mr. Hurt, who is the sixth or seventh best recruit in the country. Now, I've been told by insiders the chances are zero of that. But if you really want to try to capture things, show us that. And that's extraordinarily difficult. It just is. Now, at some point, when you get a top 15, top 20 guy that's in the state, when the state has improved, you'd like to get one of them, you know? And obviously, Mears turned out to be a real good recruit. Kelscher looks real good. Looks good, and Aturu was what? Amir was in the top 50. Aturu was maybe a little bit past that, but all of a sudden, if you got a top 10, top 15, now I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, I think he's Kansas or Duke. But if you really want to try to capture interest and turn things around, that would be the thing. 32 past 12, traffic and weather. We'll remind you that 12:32 is the Lindis Construction time check. Time to call for 75% off installation labor on Infinity by Marvin Windows. Let's talk about the president and his concern about free speech towards conservatives and how the campuses feel about it here in this state and how one individual who is a Republican at St. Olaf feels really like the president and what he had to say could be a game changer. That's coming up here on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This took place yesterday. Let me read a couple graphs from a Star Tribune story. The president signed an executive order upholding freedom of speech on college campuses, a move some local higher education officials shrugged off as a highly visible case of preaching to the choir. They, again, reading from the Star Tribune story, they voiced skepticism that the president's order tying campus free speech protections to federal higher education funding will have much of an impact, noting the order calls on colleges and universities to do what they are legally required to do, uphold the First Amendment in the case of public institutions, and follow their own policies in the case of private ones. Some expressed concerns that the new reporting requirement would mostly serve to add cost and bureaucracy. Dan saw this story. I saw it also and was drawn to Catherine Hinderaker, who's about to join us. She is a St. Olaf senior who leads the St. Olaf College Republicans. She said she's thrilled about the order, even remains unclear how it will be enforced and whether it can address the isolation pushback from peers that conservative students face. Catherine, thanks for very much for coming on. How will you try to judge whether it's here in you know your last year at St. Olaf or someone who's still going to pay attention to this, whether what the president did yesterday does have any effect, whether it's short-term or long-term?
You know, that's a good question, and I think that's something a lot of people are worried about is, you know, will this really make a difference? But I think just getting the conversation started at a federal level is a huge step. I mean, this is a big problem. Free speech is suppressed on college campuses every day. And if we can at least start talking about it and noticing when it's happening, I think that's a step in the right direction. So I think, you know, it remains to be seen how much they'll really do. But just start talking about it is, you know, the right thing to do.
So let's talk Ben Shapiro, because Ben Shapiro is a part of this and where he was scheduled at the University of Minnesota and Ben Shapiro when he was traveling around the country. In the story, it points out that St. Olaf did not schedule a speech by Shapiro. Do you think that was isolated or do you think that was a pattern of what has taken place at St. Olaf while you have been there and even before you attended there?
I think it's absolutely a pattern. It's a pattern of not paying attention to these free speech concerns. It was something among many incidents. And, you know, the problem is these things start with administrators, but they affect students. And so, you know, it creates a kind of culture where free speech is suppressed and that's everyone's just okay with it.
Anecdotally, I'm with you. Okay. I've watched this and it does seem to me that there is a pretty direct imbalance about the leeway that liberals will get compared to conservatives on campus. So that's me just observing it. You know, a lot of times then we need data. We need numbers in some way to back it up. Is that quantifiable? I mean, does that add to the argument that conservatives like yourself or even observers like myself would add to say, well, it's not only that I feel that way, but we can show you by what has taken place the last 5-10 years at X amount of campuses.
Yeah, right. I think that's a really good point. I don't know of anyone that's trying to do that, but you can see, I mean, the sheer number of students who report these things happening is obviously, you know, something. So I think that's a good point, and I don't know how we go about that, but I do think there's a huge number of students that have reported feeling this way and doing this. And a lot of it is something you can't really quantify. It's the kind of social pressure to not express your opinions if they're anything different from the norm. And, you know, that's hard to quantify. So I think that's a good point, though.
Do you think the president is doing this just to reach out to the base, or do you think he does have a general overall concern about this?
You know, I don't know. I hope he has a general overall concern, and I know he's worked with groups like Turning Point and other people who are doing things to fight for free speech on campus. So I think it does show at least some level of concern.
Catherine Hinderaker is with us. She is a senior at St. Olaf. She's in charge of St. Olaf College Republicans reacting to the president. Signed an executive order yesterday upholding freedom of speech on college campuses. The belief that some have, including the president, that conservatives are not given the same leeway as liberals. When you hear others who will say, we already have these protections, right? And that we're all just kind of shaped by our biases on this. How do you react to that?
You know, I think that's just wrong. My experience personally and the experience of a lot of conservatives I know is that administrators aren't doing anything to protect free speech. And they're, you know, even making it worse in a lot of cases, like such as the Ben Shapiro example from my school. You know, that was a great opportunity for them to promote civil discourse and differing opinions. And they wouldn't let us. They wouldn't let us do it. So I think that's just wrong. And I think they're really kidding themselves if they think that they're already protecting free speech on campus, because they're not.
Well, the example I use often here at the University of Minnesota, and wasn't too long ago when Condoleezza Rice was going to speak, and that people on the left were still so upset about the way things played out with Iraq more than Afghanistan, just spoke up and pushed back so much at Condoleezza Rice. And I'm sitting there saying, if we're really not going to have the Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, be available to speak on college campuses, then something is startling wrong in that area for me.
Right. And that's the core of the problem is, you know, it's really impeding on students' learning, in my opinion. How can you learn and get a well-rounded education, like exactly what we come to college to do? How can you get that if you're suppressing certain points of view? And I think it really impedes on students' learning and the way college is working. So that's partly why I think it's such a big problem.
Catherine, do you think people are consistent enough on this, though, where you could get enough liberals who would speak out and say, okay, fill in the blank, including maybe a Ben Shapiro, they should be allowed to speak, or Republicans who don't necessarily agree with a liberal or a Democrat is coming would say, listen, I'm not going to agree with him. I'm not going to agree with her, but he or she should have the ability to speak, or are we just going to fall back in our own little camps and we're going to get more bothered by this if we feel only our side is slighted as opposed to being consistent on the overall feeling of free speech?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I do know a lot. I have a lot of liberal friends who would support me in bringing in a speaker and did support me in bringing in a speaker. But there's also a lot of people who have this kind of notion that hearing the other side's opinions is dangerous. They really see it as a dangerous thing. And I think if we're doing things like not inviting in these speakers, you're not doing anything to solve that problem. If they're not hearing these people, how are they going to understand that, you know, these ideas aren't dangerous, they're just different?
Catherine, thanks for coming on. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, Catherine Hinderaker with us. I want to get a little feedback on this. Let me set it up a little bit, because this is far from the first time we have covered this topic. And you can have times where someone is speaking and they're left or right, and their views can be so outrageous, can be so problematic with security, can be so dangerous, where there are times when universities need to step in. And listen, on this show today, I get three people like baseball an awful lot. And part of what makes sports stand out more is we've got all the metrics. We've got all the data, right? We've got all the analytics. So can I say that right in my hands right now, I can show at the major universities that X amount of conservatives were denied compared to X amount of liberals? I don't have that data. But as someone who ends up paying attention to the news a fair amount doing this silly little show and doing this for 30-some years, I don't think it's close. I just do not think it's close. Now, you have to decide when maybe somebody's not going to get the exact same building because they're not going to create the same amount of interest. Or it can be outrageous because protesters are going to show up and that you need different security. Now, I hope we're not going to just chill speech automatically because some are going to create divisions of hate and violence. Now, do I think the president is doing this totally to his base? 100%. Without a shred of doubt, I don't think if this was the opposite situation and the belief was that liberals were not getting the same opportunity, Donald Trump, in my personal view, wouldn't give a bleep. But I think people should. I mean, that's listen, I am a critic of the president. I've said that many times. But I've also called out other sides. And for me, much of my criticism is not Donald Trump Republican. It's Donald Trump, his behavior, his bullying, how he treats people. Quintessential example this week, warring with the dead American hero when, to me personally, he's a draft dodger. Okay, so I think that's bizarre to me. So I would like to see some consistency on this. I really would. Now, you know, Jane Kirtley's quoted in the story, and we've had Jane on this show a couple times, and she's been on the station many, many times. And her point that I was drawn to, across the spectrum, it's easy to defend speech you agree with. It's tough to defend speech you don't agree with. That's what I'm saying about things when we'll call out people on the right on the show or call out people on the left on this show or call out the president. Own your values. Own your beliefs. But be consistent on the hypocrisy. And I think some of that doesn't happen enough. We got a state rep who's on hold. He wants to chime in. Let's take a short break, and we'll get to Dean when we come back. But I'd love to hear from other people, even if you're someone who absolutely disagrees with this, right? You think, give me a break. You don't need this at all. It's already out there. It's silly for the president to step in on this. You want to agree with him vehemently. You want to show an example or two when you've seen this in place. Chime in, because I think it is worth talking. And I think it's been a problem for a while. 81807 or 651-989-9226. Back in moments on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, let's continue on the topic. Love more feedback here on what the president did, potentially tying money to he feels like the chilling of people who agree with him. Let's be honest about this. The president, in my view, would not be involved in this if it was the other side. Come on. But as someone who disagrees with the president an awful lot, I think he's 100% right on the exchanges here. To me, I think the evidence is overwhelming on the latitude liberals get on college campuses compared to conservatives. State Rep. Dean Erdahl is kind enough to join us. Dean, go ahead. Thanks for the patience. Dean, during the break, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, no problem. Just I think it's really a wider problem that's been brewing for a long time. And that deals with, I think, the failure of civic education in Minnesota and across the country, where we have emphasized STEM and other courses, and civics has suffered. And so I think people don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand the Bill of Rights. They don't realize that, okay, I have the freedom of speech. I can talk, but that means that so can the people that disagree with me. I think that's a broader problem that we have to deal with.
Well, I'm not going to – I'll agree with you and disagree because on the Constitution, that needs to be a core principle in our education, no doubt about it. But on new ideas, including STEM, I don't think we should chill that in any way, right?
No,
I
mean, well, I'm not, Chad, I'm not saying that we need to do away with that, obviously. It's very important. But the College Board, the guys that do the SAT, did a study and said that the two most important things for people to learn in college and in life right now are computer literacy and the Constitution. They have to work together, but we can't diminish one as we bring up the other.
There was a survey that just came on the last couple days, which showed adults and their lack of knowledge on the Bill of Rights, on the First Amendment, and it was pretty startling, to say the least. Do you expect, sir, any changes to take place, not that the president has jumped into this?
No, maybe in the short term.
Yep.
But I'm looking long term. I've got a bill that will require that civics be taught as a course for credit to juniors or seniors. In Minnesota now, a lot of our civics education is done to ninth graders or other grades. And frankly, I just don't think that they're ready to learn. A senior is about ready to go out and vote. That should be who we're teaching this to.
If this was an issue which didn't line up with the president's own views, do you think he'd be involved?
I don't know. I don't know how personally committed to the First Amendment the president is. I mean, he should be.
He should be, but don't we have to be honest? I really appreciate you calling in. The president jumps into issues, and listen, a lot of politicians do, but I don't think as much as the president when it suits him. And that's what I want out of my politicians. I don't want people to back away from how they view, the thousands of issues they stand. But when it's in the Constitution and members have access to information, I want people to be consistent on both sides. And I just don't see that out of the present.
Well, I understand that
we lost him. You know, that happens. All right, Dan. You chime in. What do you think? How big of an issue is it? And from your understanding, do you think this will have any effect?
It's absolutely an issue. There's no question about it. When you see the imbalance on college campuses in terms of which speakers are either allowed to speak, which speakers are told, no, we can't have you speak because there's this protest that's going to happen, or they're moved to a specific location where there's no question that there's a disparity there. The trouble for me is that the executive order is nebulous enough that if you're a university and there's a legitimate security concern, but you think I have to let this person come because otherwise I'm going to lose my federal funding, and then something happens, are you now liable? Is the federal government going to be liable for any potential lawsuits, or how does all that work? And I'm not saying that you can't work those issues out, but I'm saying when we just do this kind of nebulous executive order on this, I don't know that it addresses the specific issues that universities are now going to have to go through.
Well, and like Marr on most issues is well left, but in this issue, he's been taking on college campuses for years and years and years, right? When he had Milo on his show, was it about a year ago or so? So many liberals were furious about that because, Milo, where is it? Is it trolling or is it flat out hate speech? And that's an interesting line that people walk to, right? Where some of these comments can be absolute filth, can be disgusting. And then you say, okay, does all of it belong in the public forum? Where do you step in? Where do you stop it? And then is it a little too convenient if somebody says, wait a second, when I was putting those disgusting, bullying, intimidating words out there, it was just trolling.
Right.
It's that's a little bit too much of that convenience to say, well, I got the side door here. I can just say, I was kidding.
You're not wrong. My thought always is that when it comes to speech that you find objectionable, the cure to that or the response to that is more speech, not limiting speech.
Yeah, the whole sound
so
of
that
idea.
To trying to limit who can speak and where they can speak, that has to be, to me, a last resort. They have no other option but to do this. Instead, if you have somebody coming on campus that's speaking that you don't like, counter with somebody else speaking that you do like.
Yep.
I mean, to me, that's the solution.
Yeah, last thing, because we were trying to get Dr. Paul Offit on the show today. We've had Dr. Offit on many times, and we'd like to get him on next week. And part of what's going on now with the anti-vaccine crowd, because, you know, I think the anti-vaxxers are just absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. I think they're going against science. But YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, the pressure those outlets are saying, don't allow those folks to have the access. And when all of a sudden it's jeopardizing the lives of individuals, what do you do? I mean, do you just say it's so true to everybody has to have access, or is there some line where it gets the point of public health or individual health where you have to step in? So it is a bit of a case-by-case basis. Coming up in moments, CBS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.